And we thank you for your participant, and we thank you for, I especially want to thank the IT team for doing such a great job for improving the lightings, improving the sound. There might be some hiccups here and there, but it doesn't matter. I believe that our congregation has grace, has love, and really appreciate what they have done, and they put in the effort to do all these things. And also appreciate Mitch willing to come in for the first time, and I happen to see him in reality for the first time. And I'm really excited to have that fellowship, to have that. I also really appreciate the songs that we have today, especially when you worship the great I Am, and also the song about Be My Vision. And it's that gazing of Christ that we're looking for on a daily basis. When we talk about 2020, is our depending on the Holy Spirit, live life on by the Spirit daily, and this is what we're looking for. We gaze at Jesus every single day, and as the song says, has given us the idea of this is one of the evangelistic song, if you like, that was written in the 17th century. You know, by a Scottish Baptist pastor, and when I read the story behind, it was so touching. And he was trying to ask God and pray to God, and how can, when I pastor your church, how can I catch your vision? I'm doing church, I'm pastoring the church well, but I just don't get your vision. Now today, I think when we come to the stories of today, is this born again? It's a very important dialogue that Jesus ever had with a man, and when we look into the Bible, there's 20 out of these 21 verses. There's so much thing that we can expound on, we can look into. But one very important terms that come up was born again. This is a question that every single Christian have to ask. Every follower of Christ has to ask, and even non-believers has to ask this question: how am I? How can I have that certainty that I am in Christ? How do I have that? And today's scripture is just as we thank Marty for reading that out loud, and it's really good coming from her, and with her expression, it gives some more expression to the scripture, and it bring the life out of the scripture. And when you look at this scripture, it's a scripture that everyone stumble on when we come to know the truth. All right. So what happened was, within these 21 verses, it seems like the term born again seems to be dominated by John alone. When you search up Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, any of the synoptic gospel, none of this term has never come up. In fact, when you search up the whole Bible, there's only four occasions that it appears for the term born again. And three of them appear in this 21 verse. That tells me this is very, very, very important. You know, and the other one that appears, Peter was the one who's bringing it up in 1 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1. And as you can see, and then the other thing is that why John bring this up? The obvious reason was that John was the only one who tried his audience to catch the heavenly origin, the deity of Christ, so, and his teaching. So that's why he channeled the focus in such a way that he's talking about the kingdom stuff, he's talking about the spiritual stuff, he's talking about the heavenly, the deity of Christ. So next week we're going to see into this, but today we're going to see the process. Last week, as we come to see that God, the gracious, to enter the gracious kingdom of God, you need to be born again. And Jesus explained it further. You need to be born of water and of the Spirit. And that was the confusion part when we talk about the Spirit. When he talks about to Nicodemus, that this is, you have to be born like this in order to enter the kingdom. And he got confused. He got stunned. And what happened next was, you know, and then Jesus bring in the relationship between born again and the kingdom. And he declare At that time, for the first time, he said, I tell you the truth. This is very important. There's a truth that is coming. He said, no one can see the kingdom unless you are born again. Unless you have that relationship. Unless you are born into the kingdom. Unless your life has been regenerated. Or you have the regeneration of a new life. The kingdom way of life. That's what Jesus proclaimed. And when we talk about this, and Jesus illustrated using birth and allowing us to see that you have a choice. We have no choice. We make no choice. It's not our choice that we're born into this world. But we do. God's gracious grace has given us the choice, the option to choose Him, to choose the right path, to choose the path where God wants to bless you abundantly, that where you are blessed into His kingdom. With true righteousness, true justice, true love, and true truth. And today we're going to look at another illustration. Out of the four images, I personally feel that this is the hardest part to explain about the wind, and using the wind to illustrate the process of being born again. So every time when we do something, there must be a process to get from point A to point B. So this is the question that is very common to many people. Now, how do I become a Christian? How do I get from point A to point B? That is a common question. So Jesus, out of Nicodemus' astonishment, surprise, amazement, or maybe doubt or confusion, Jesus just tell him, hey, I tell you what, all right, there's a process for this. All right, in today's scriptures, and he also show us our issues of being born again. You know, why do we stumble when we hear about this? So right from the start, Jesus dive straight into it, give no more explanation and say, hey, look, I tell you, you have to be born of the water and born by the Spirit in order to get into the kingdom. All right, this is just like what? This is just like wind blow wherever it pleases. All right, your heart, you hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from, where it's going. It is with everyone born of the Spirit. What this is trying to say is only one thing. The Spirit can work by His will. The Spirit works by His will, not your will. All right? And who is the Holy Spirit we're talking about here? The Holy Spirit can be referred to as God's Spirit or Jesus' Spirit, interchangeable. It all means the same thing. It's a third person of the Trinity, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, three of them coexist, they co-power, they co-work, and they fellowship with one another in love. So it's unbreakable. All right, the absence of either one of them, that means God does not exist. All right, this is the one true God that we believe in. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three of them coexist, co-power, co-work, and fellowship with one another. And obviously, by definition, the Holy Spirit is God. We can go into a lot of details about Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to get into that. This is just a touch base. It's the basics of you need to know that Holy Spirit is the God. All right. So last week we talked about the God, all right, the Father, and then this week we talk about Holy Spirit. Next week we're going to come to the Son, but we're going to keep on looking at the wind. Now, Jesus illustrates the Holy Spirit using the wind as an illustration to show Nicodemus how the process is going to work. Okay, the word process work like this. The wind blows wherever it pleases. All right, he wants us to imagine, all right, people like who love sailing, or people who love gliding, hang gliding. I believe you can relate very well when we talk about the wind blows wherever it pleases, isn't it? You can't sustain the wind. You can't control the wind. You can't see the wind. You don't know where the sea wind come from. We don't know where is it going to end, isn't it? It's a mystery how winds function. But again, the presence is undeniable. The power is undeniable. Every time you look up the sky, especially these few days, the sun came out, but the wind is really blowing, isn't it? You look at the trees when it's waving. You look at the ocean where the water is overlapping each other, especially during a heavy storm. You can feel the wind. You can hear the sound of the wind. But can you see it? Can you sustain it? You can't. This is what Jesus is trying to say. Hey, look, don't be confused. It's just like the wind. You know, the Spirit worked by His will. The mystery of the Spirit is not that something that we need to worry about, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit will be very obvious, just like when we feel the wind. We can't see it, we can't sustain it, but the power is obvious on someone, on a person, especially for someone who is born again. It's obvious. Why do I say that? Why is it so obvious when the Spirit, we can't see it, we can't feel it, but it is so obvious that the Holy Spirit is in us? Because the Bible tells us by the fruits that you can tell that the Holy Spirit is there. So only through the fruit. I'm not talking about you faking it until you do it. I'm not talking about you being a good person here. I'm not talking about okay, if I want to prove that the Holy Spirit in me, so I need to do everything I can to prove that I'm a good fruit. No, you don't do that. What the Bible is telling us is that with that good fruit, the good fruit resembling the appearance, the Holy Spirit that is working in your life. So for people who has been born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. So when the Holy Spirit come into you, it will automatically generate that fruits. So when we talk about that fruits, we're not talking about ethical values. We are talking about all the qualities of Jesus' life that will appear on you, that will reveal through you and will flow through. Only people according to the Bible, according to what Jesus described to us, only the Holy Spirit can do that. So that is a process of someone being born again. You need to be born into the Holy Spirit, and this is by the will of the Holy Spirit. And for Nicodemus' case, at this stage, he can't understand, he was confused, but his process, the Holy Spirit has hit that process, took him 3 years. By the end of chapter 19, you will come to see, if you read on ahead, you will see Nicodemus came to Christ. Nicodemus was the one who retracted Jesus' body. But next, and then what did the Bible say? And what happened at this stage? He was not, he did not believe, he was confused. He asked the same question that everyone asks. We ask, I ask, you ask. How can this be? Why did he ask this question? This is a very common question that we all ask. Why? Because we can't accept it. Because this, in the world that we are living in right now, we always expect a catch. We also always expect a transaction. We always expect, like, you know, if you you want to get something, you got to earn it. That's our teaching, isn't it? But that's not wrong, you know. It's not a wrong thing that you need to work hard. The Bible even teach us, it said, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So simply got to tell you, if you want to get a good career, you got to work for it. If you want to get a perfect family, you got to work for it. If you want to get a beautiful wife, then you got to work for it. Now you got to look after one, you got to chase after one, you got to find one, but make sure you be the right person too, right? But you got to work for it. That's what it's talking about. So in our world, when you talk about something that beyond your control, we practice this so much. When God tells us that no, it's not your control, it's not your power, it's not to be born again, it's not your thing, it's my thing. You just can't believe it. Like people like Nicodemus, you know, he just can't accept it. Why? Because he was a Pharisee. A Pharisees, they live under the impact, the corruption of salvation by works. That means every single thing that they do is a checkbox, checkbox, checkbox. I do this, I come to church, I read my Bible, I'm safe. No. In a Christian perspective, this is all grace. That's what the Bible teaches us. It's by grace and by faith through Jesus Christ that we are saved. So that means today, everything that we do, including you sitting in front of the TV watching what I'm sharing with you right now, it's not going to save you. The reason that you are here and watching the screen is because you have been saved, because you believe in Jesus and you want to learn more about Jesus. The reason that we do what we do here at church, doing this live stream for you, is because we believe in Jesus. We have been saved by grace. That's why we want to serve God. We don't do this because that we have not, oh, we're not saved, so I want to come and tick the box so that to make sure I'm saved. No, we are not the Pharisees. So this is, what kind of grace is this people like Nicodemus can't understand? Because this is a grace. This is what we call the King God's kingdom grace. Remember the last time when we put the relationship between born again and God's kingdom? What was God's kingdom? God's kingdom, the definition of God's kingdom was perfect justice, perfect truth, perfect love. So when we come about God's kingdom grace, you need to have all these three attributes in order to qualify for grace. You look around us, every time we perform grace, we thought we give grace, but every time the grace that we've given to others is either selfish or somehow discredit. Somehow it's not the grace that we expected. When we show grace to someone, we expect something back. But this is not kingdom God's grace. When you have grace, God's kingdom grace will have the entity of justice, truth, and love. That means this grace is going to be fair. It's going to be fair to every single person. All right? The missing of either one of them, that means that this grace will be short. So we are looking for that grace. So this is the grace that the Nicodemus cannot understand. He stumbled on when you come into this. So when it comes to that, this grace to them, they stumble, we stumble on it. Then it brings up, Jesus brings up an issue, three issues that Nicodemus has, and which reveals that the issues that we have, the exact same issues that we have today. All right? The first issues that you come along is that, look, you are Israel teachers. Don't you understand all this thing? What does Jesus mean? What Jesus means was that you are ignorant. You are Israel. Who are these teachers? Remember, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was the master of law. He was the master of scripture. He knows his scripture inside out. And look at here, Jesus regards him as Israel teachers. That means he is the shepherd of Israel, shepherd of the Jews. Probably in today's term, you call it a pastor. But this pastor have no knowledge of God. And he's teaching God's people. What does that mean? What does that tell you? He's a leader, spiritual leader who is blind. This is disastrous. When you have someone like this, someone who is spiritually blind, leading another blind, it ends up nowhere. It ends up disastrous. It ends up to the kingdom work. It was disastrous. So for Nicodemus to come to a term like this, and he's blind, he's ignorant to God's grace. That every area that he looked was just like, okay, what can I do? What can I do to receive this, to be born again? But Jesus was keeping on telling you, it's not you. You have to be born of the Holy Spirit and allow the Spirit to do work through you. Allow Spirit, you submit to Spirit and allow the Spirit to lead you. That's all you need to do. But he just can't believe it. He just can't accept the fact. And what did Jesus say? Jesus come to the second one. Look, I tell you the truth. This is the second time. Remember the last time I told you? Every time you come to I tell you the truth, there's something behind this. What's coming up is really important. He said, we speak. Now the we here appear four times. The we is referring to Jesus himself and the prophet before Jesus' time. So what he is trying, in other words, is to simplify for you, is a scripture. It was the Old Testament. All right, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen. What have they seen? They've seen a lot of things. They've seen the glory of God. They've seen the Spirit at work from the Old Testament until Jesus' time. All right. By the way, the Holy Spirit was not very obvious from the very beginning, from Genesis, throughout the whole of Old Testament. But you can, if you read the Bible, you will see that the Holy Spirit somehow become it's sort of a crescendo as it approached the four gospel, and then after Jesus went on the cross, and it, all of a sudden it just exploded in Acts, and it exploded ever since throughout to Revelation. That's how The whole God has put the whole scripture into that. So this time Jesus is telling them, hey, you are a Pharisees. You know your scripture, you teach your scripture. All right? The only revelation you have is the scripture that is given to you. How can you not know? I've already told you. We have testified about this. But you do not accept this. This is resistance. That is the second issue that we have. The first issue is ignorance to grace. The second issue is resistance to testimony. And Jesus was accusing him, telling him, said, look, you read about this. You know about this in the scripture. I just point out a few. The Holy Spirit is what? Is from the Genesis time, is the breath of life, that the Spirit that gives us life. Remember? And then when you read Job, Job called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of life. And when you come to Ezekiel, Ezekiel said that there will be a new spirit. All right, the Holy Spirit, the God Spirit will come in such a way that give you new hope and give you new spirit. This, all this has been revealed through Israel. So that's why Jesus said, how can you not know? We have been testifying this, giving our witness up until now. Right now, the Son of God, the truth, is standing right in front of you. And you resist him. And you do not accept him. And the third and final issues is what? Our disbelief. Nicodemus has the same thing. And Jesus said, I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? Now what are the two earthly things and heavenly things? Earthly things does not mean all the matters that is circular or sinful by nature. It's not, no, Jesus does not mean that. What Jesus was trying to say is that this earthly thing means that all the matters that in regards to Jesus' ministry of salvation for the world. That means like born again, things like born again, things like crucifixion, all right? Things like turning wonders and sign, revealing and teaching. Now all these things, the reason that earthly thing that Jesus say is that this thing has to be done alive. All right? No dead person can be born again. Only people who are like you and me who are alive can be born again. So it's giving us a choice right now. Earthly things, you have to be born again right now. You have to choose. This is the time. Have the sense of urgency. And heavenly things are things, matters that Jesus accomplished for salvation, the salvation work for us in heaven, like getting ready for a place for us to go, eternity, spending eternity in Christ, like Feast of the Lamb, etc. Yeah, you got so many things that we can talk about here, but just to give you the illustration, the earthly thing and the heavenly things. When Jesus said, if you do not believe when I'm present to you and tell you about the truth by signs and wonders and living and with you, how can you believe when I tell you there is a heaven that's coming? Today we ask the same question. If we witness to you, we tell you what the scriptures say and what God is telling you and showing us you how we live our life, testifying Christ is alive and living. If you don't believe that, then how can you believe if I tell you there's a heaven? You will not believe. There's no hope. Isn't it? So church, in conclusion, what do we learn from this? There are two things that Jesus wants us to say, quit and submit. So what to quit? Quit your ignorance, quit your resisting, quit your disbelief. These are the three main critical parts that obstruct Nicodemus from coming to Christ that night. And submit to God's Spirit leadership. Trust in them, trust in God. And trust that he will lead you. He will not break his promise. He will always love you forever. Can you believe that? Can you trust that? As the Bible tells us, Paul finally tells us, said, you know, only people who are born of the Spirit understand the Spirit. People who are born of the Spirit is able to discern, able to know, have knowledge of what's coming, what God has spoken to. So church, do you know? Have you come to Christ? Do you believe that this is the work of the Holy Spirit? So how can we be born again? See, I fall in the same trap again. Every time when we start to ask a question, there's a sense of distrust. We always want to know what is practically, what can we do, right? Now I tell you, how can we receive the Holy Spirit. As the Gospel of John has revealed to us, there's only one way. Believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit will give you a ticket to heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, I just thank you for your Spirit. We might not totally understand the mystery of your Spirit. But Lord, you reveal to us again and again, and seeing that your Spirit is active and in work and powerful. We can do nothing without your Holy Spirit. Father, we just ask that you reveal your Holy Spirit to us, that so that even though we can't see, we can't sustain, we don't know where it's from, but we know your presence because you are God. And Lord, I just ask that your Spirit will continue to work through us, through our salvation, so that we can be certain that we have been saved, not by works, but by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Same thing.